Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now here's Justin.
If you will, take your New Testament and go to what I like to call the lost chapter. I'm talking about Luke chapter 15. Not that it was once lost in our copy of Scripture, but we now have it again. Like sometimes you might buy a book that's the lost writings of so-and-so, or a CD, the lost recordings of so-and-so. I call it the lost chapter because the entire contents of this chapter, three stories that Jesus tells of things that were lost and are now found. And thinking about everything that's been going on lately and just doing some personal study, I think it's always important to bring out how to return back to God. That's the underlying premise there of Luke chapter 15, how to return back to God. So the three things that are lost, Jesus is teaching here just as a little background, and these are stories that only Luke records. You have the Pharisees and the scribes and publicans. Jesus is going to sit with the publicans and sinners, eating with them, and the enemies of Christ. They do not like him. They start to speak among themselves. And so Christ tells them three stories. And he begins with a story of 100 sheep. And there's a shepherd has 100 sheep, which is probably about the average size of a flock of sheep in that day. You may have had 2 or 3 shepherds went together, so you could have had a flock of 200 or 300, but he was over, that 100 sheep, and he loses one, so he leaves the 99 with these other shepherds, and he goes and finds that one, and the Bible says he does not stop looking till he finds the one, puts it over his shoulders, carries it back home, and rejoices. And there's great rejoicing among those when he brings it back. The parallel is there's great rejoicing in heaven when one returns to God. Now, a sheep is valuable, but he loses 1 out of 100. That's not earth-shattering. The next story is a woman that has 10 coins. Now we've moved up in value from 1 sheep to 1 coin. She loses a coin. These may have even been a dowry that her father gave. So she may have been a poor person, just have 10 days' worth of wage as a dowry. And the way their houses were set up with just little stones for their floor. And so a coin could easily fall in those cracks. And so by sweeping the floor, you might could rattle the coin and they'd hear it. And so she sweeps the whole house, calls all her friends over. She finds it, and they all rejoice. And once again, verse 10, Jesus says, "Likewise, I tell you, there's great rejoicing in heaven when one repents." You see a pattern here? And with each story, Jesus increases in the value of the lost object. From a sheep to a coin, the bulk of the chapter is the story of the lost son. We call him the prodigal son because he's prodigal. Prodigal means to waste one's livelihood or one's living. And so Jesus sets the story here in verse 11 that a man had 2 sons. So evidently there's 3 people in this story. There's the father, the older son, and the younger son. And this younger son does something that I could never fathom doing, because in verse 12 he goes to his father. Now the Bible records, he says, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls on me." But in 2023, he walked up to his father and says, "I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance." Because we don't get an inheritance until the person whose will it is has passed away. And I could never fathom walking up to my father and saying, "I wish you were dead. Give me what's mine." But this son does. The old law, he got 1/3. The older son got 2/3. And so verse 13, notice here, the Bible says, "Not many days after, the young son gathered all together, and he took his journey to a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living." He was living a prodigal lifestyle. In verse 14, "When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." Brother George Dehoff, in his commentary on this verse, says that there's always a famine when one is far from God. There's always a famine when one is far from God. Now, he's not meaning physical famine, although that's what the younger son experienced here. But it seems like things in people's lives start to dry up, start to not be as plentiful or as bountiful the farther they get away from God. As we're looking in this chapter, the son, he goes and joins himself, verse 15, to a citizen of that country, and he goes out to feed swine. Now, Jesus is talking to Jews. And when he says the word swine, they get a chill runs up the spine of their back because swine are unclean, Leviticus chapter 11. In fact, the Bible specifically says you shall not eat pigs, you don't even be near pigs. So this man has stooped so low that he is in a place he shouldn't be to be keeping with the law, but he has nothing else to do, so he goes and works with the man that feeds the swine. And I'll tell you, I have had some low points in my life. Thank be to God, we don't have them too often. But I've never been as low as he was in verse 16, because as he's feeding the pigs, the Bible says he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the pigs or the swine did eat, but no one would give him any food. These little seeds, these carob seeds, more likely than not, that they were eating. He would have rather eaten pigs' food because he had nothing else to eat.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
I want us to look at the rest of this chapter about being lost and found, and they all begin with the letter R on how we can go from being lost to found. And our first one is in verse 17. Number one, to go from lost to found, there must be a realization. We must realize that we're lost. Notice here in verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and yet I perish with hunger? He realized that the current state he's in is a lot worse than the state he used to be in. He came to himself. He realized he's fallen. You know, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5 to the church at Ephesus, Jesus says, remember from whence thou art fallen, return, repent, and do what you were doing. Go back to your first love. To help somebody come back to the Lord, number one, they've got to realize they've gone away from Him. Number two, there is remorse. Look at the first part of verse 18. He says, I will arise and I will go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. One must be remorseful before they will repent. They must realize what sin does to them. It separates from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. It is missing the mark. And once we are remorseful, once we are sad, upset for our sins, that's what leads us to want to change. So then he also has, number three, a resolve. Once again, there in verse 18, he is remorseful, saying, I have sinned. He admits he sinned, so his resolution is to go make it better. You know, we sing the song, I am resolved no longer to linger. He was resolved to go to his Father and admit that he has done wrong. He says, before heaven, or against heaven and before thee. Against heaven's another way of saying, I've sinned in the sight of God and I've done you wrong, Dad. So you have to have a realization, remorse, and resolve. Verse 19, he just says, I'm no longer worthy to be your called your son. But notice verse 20, there has to be a return. There has to be a return. It's not enough for him to realize what he needs to do. Dear friends, there are many people in the world who realize what they need to do to make their lives right and never do it. There are many people who know how to be pleasing to God but never put it into action. But he does. Why? Because he returns. Of verse 20, he arose and he came to his father. Now there's a great picture Jesus paints, and it may be one of the most beautiful ones. He says, while he was yet a great way off, his father sees him, has compassion, runs, falls on his neck, and kisses him. This is a father who was waiting for his son to come home. And dear friends, in this story, you and I are that prodigal son. And this Father is our Heavenly Father, and He is just standing out waiting for those who have turned away from Him to come home. And He runs. You know, in biblical times, it was undignified for an adult male to run. But He doesn't care. He sees His son, so He runs. Why? Because the son returned. Look here in verse number 21 for number 5. There has to be a repentance. Has to be a repentance. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. It's not just enough to know what to do. We have to do it. We have to repent. Turn from one way and turn back to God. But look for number 6. Also there in the same verse, there has to be a restitution. Wanting to pay back. Wanting to make right again. He says, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. He says, I don't want to be your son. Notice, the father said, bring forth the robe, a restoration, if you will, of his status as a son. Put it on him, a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Being as poor as he was, he probably wasn't wearing shoes. So the father's just taking care of his physical needs as well as his familial needs. He says, bring hither that fatted calf, a calf that was reserved for special purposes, maybe like when a son turns 13, maybe like when a son gets married. It's evident he's young. It's evident he's not married. So maybe this is the calf his father has been saving. And he says, bring forth the calf. We're going to kill it. We're going to eat and be merry. Number 7, there needs to be a renewal. To go from lost to found, you can't just keep living that old life. You've got to live a new life. Notice here what he says in verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was, past tense, lost, is, present tense, found. And they began to be merry. And that's our 8th one. There needs to be rejoicing when one comes home. Dear friends, I'm afraid too many times, and it's not that we do it on purpose, we as Christians as a whole, but somebody will be restored to the church, and they'll come back after sowing wild oats for maybe a period of time, and we're glad they came back, but then sometimes we won't let it go what they used to do. I don't read anywhere here in this passage of what the father accuses the younger son of doing. Now, the older son does in verse 30. Probably some false accusations, but the father doesn't care. The father is more happy that the son has come home, that a dead one is now alive again. So to go from lost to found, and it would work for the world, someone's got to realize that they're lost. They need to be remorseful for what they've done. They need to resolve to do better. They need to return from where they fell. They need to repent. They need to make restitution. They need to be renewed. And then we all need to rejoice. Don't be like that older brother. He said, Father, you never killed a fatted calf for me. You never did this. You didn't even give me a goat. And the father said, yeah, because you didn't go away. You were here the whole time. He was dead. And he's now alive. And I tell you what, that story of the 99 sheep, it makes a whole lot of difference when you're that one that's lost. That story of the 10 coins makes a whole lot more sense if you're the lost one. And it's a whole lot of a different story if you're the prodigal son as opposed to the other one. Don't be caught up in the things of the world. If you're away from God, turn back to Him because He's waiting. Nothing will stop Him from receiving you again. Maybe you're not a Christian though. You need to start the journey there by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. You go down that watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. If you're not a Christian, why not become one? If you've stumbled away, if you're out feeding pigs when you should be at home with the Father, why not repent of those sins and be restored? And you can be found once again.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. You know, the proverb writer has great wisdom when he says such words as, well, how about Proverbs 23:7? For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Let's go to Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So as I think in my heart, that's the way I'm going to be, so I must keep my heart with all diligence. Sometimes we say, well, I feel it right here, and we touch our heart. But dear friends, if we're not putting in our heart the Word of God, we may be feeling the wrong thing. Let's pursue our studies of the Word of God and think on those things that should go in our hearts, for from the heart we will obey. Join us at our website at internationalgospelhour.com. And as always, thanks for taking 60 Seconds for the Savior, and have a good day.